Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. And Charlie, we got a texter. He said, man, y'all don't give no love to the Raging Cajuns. You not listening. You got the biggest Raging Cajuns fan in the world.
What are we talking about?
We talk about all the time. So, no, you can't come with that. You're not listening all the time. Because I know my boy Charlie waved the flag for the Raging Cajuns.
Yeah, and then Coach Summerall kind of tore it down a little bit there a couple weeks back. Mike. But no, I mean, of course.
No, I told him, listen, you got to win it for me because I wouldn't hear the end of it.
Yeah. I will say on that
he
return.
Told me, Mike, I came through for you.
The knee was down on the kickoff return, Mike. I'm not going to give that one up. But no, the Raging Cajuns, to this Texas point, having an awesome year with Coach Dez.
Man, Dez is doing a great job.
They're playing fantastic football right now. And they have an upcoming matchup on a short week. Well, they technically had the bye, I guess, this past week. A mini bye, right? With this matchup against Texas State. And, Mike, this one kind of surprised me a little bit when I looked at the line and stuff like that. Texas State, a lot of folks that kind of preseason picked to win the Sun Belt.
Yep.
But UL's in the driver's seat right now to win the Sun Belt West and make it to the Sun Belt Championship game. Now, you know, the game last week, or I guess this is now, you know, it's so weird because they didn't play this past weekend. So the weekend before, when they played Coastal, that Coastal Carolina game, I don't want to say it exercised a lot of demons for a lot of Raging Cajun fans, but it was nice to beat down the Sea Chickens. I'll just say that much. So now you're looking ahead to this Texas State matchup. I don't think Texas State has ever beat UL in their history. And they're 3.5-point favorites against the Cajuns at home.
Okay, that's reputation.
It is. No, I agree 100%.
It's reputation.
Because if you see what's happened on the field, Texas State's 4-3 this year. They've been fine, but they haven't lived up to expectations.
You know what they are? They're a stock market team.
Yeah.
1 week up, 1 week down.
One
week up, 1 week down.
So both teams, if you want a quick preview on this matchup, because I can give it to you, both teams are great running the football, great rushing attacks. I think they're both in the top 40 in the country in rushing offense. But the difference is the Raging Cajuns have a quarterback that's been performing pretty well, Mike, and it's someone that you're familiar with in Ben Woolridge.
Ben is a guy. He was my first interview at Manning Passing Academy when they broke us to, okay, you can interview the guys. Ben was sitting right there where I got up, and so I got my cameraman to interview Ben, and he was excited. He really felt this was a year that they could be a double-digit winning team. And he basically said that on the interview. I think we can get to 10 wins this year with the Raging Cajuns. Charlie, he maybe got something there.
Yeah, so if you're looking ahead at the Cajun schedule, they have Arkansas State still after this Texas State game, and then South Al, Troy, and then they wrap up the season against a ULM team that's been pretty surprising. But
Has been surprising.
Yes, they've been playing well. But if you're looking at the Sun Belt West, right now the Cajuns are 3-0 in conference play. If they boost up to 4-0, they have a bunch of teams that are still trailing them, right? Like the Arkansas State, South Alabama, ULM, Texas State, they all have one loss. And then Southern Miss and Troy are at the bottom of the conference. Sorry there, Jimmy. You know, the Cajuns already
Jimmy knew they were bad.
Yeah, Cajuns already took care of business against Southern Miss earlier this year. It feels like the West is a little bit more top-heavy than the East this year. The East is kind of more middle of the pack, I guess you would say. But the Cajuns kind of control their own destiny in the Sun Belt West, if you're looking at their upcoming slate. And that all starts, against this Texas State team on the road with a huge matchup coming up tonight.
Yeah, I agree. Charlie, one of the things Bob and I talked about in last night and leading up to the coaches show was we were looking at young players on this Saints football team. We said 27, we had to add one to make it to 28. And so the question became, there are no great players on this team today, on the Saints team. And Dennis Allen, when Bob posed it to him, said that. We don't have great players. We got some good players.
There was a really roundabout answer, though, Mike, where he kind of started off and he said, yeah, I don't think we have any great young players on this team. But then he kind of, I don't want to say backtracked. He kind of rolled back over and said, but I think you can win with a lot of really good players or something like that. He said something along those lines. Yeah. It was kind of weird.
Yeah, and so Bob and I came up with this, and we talked about it, and I got his opinion. Also got an opinion of an NFL scout and a NFL director of player personnel guy. So, Charlie, I'll get you this interview and get you involved here with which guys, and there are eight of them, eight young players, well, I say young, from 28 years of age and younger, could they start on every team? Could they start on some teams? Or are they just a good player? right off the bat, Eric McCoy, it was check mark. He could start for any team in the NFL at either center or guard.
Yeah, if he's not the center, because there's only a few centers you take over McCoy, then, you mentioned, Mike, he'll play at guard.
Yeah, and so Bob and I sort of – he thinks he's an elite one. I think, you know, Frank Ragnow, Creed Humphrey from Kansas City. Tyler Lindenbaum, I think, is one of the best unknown centers in the NFL.
Right.
But I think McCoy's right there with those other three. So McCoy got the check mark from the NFL scout, myself, also NFL director of player personnel, could start for anybody at either center or guard. The next guy, you may have to break this, is Taliese Fuaga. And here's the question. Could he start on every team? Could he start on some teams, or is he just a good player?
So,
as you're looking into the telescope now with Fuaga.
If you listen to what Coach Allen said at the end of it, where he was talking about the rookies and second-year players, he's just like, we're still figuring out, right? Taliese Fuaga has a huge ceiling, right? I think he can be a great player in the NFL. As of now, he's still a rookie. I mean, he's just played 8 games so far, so give him some time.
Okay, can he start on every team at either right or left tackle or a right guard? For any team at one of those three positions, guard or right tackle, left tackle?
I would say yes, because I think that he can play guard. Now, he's only played right tackle throughout his entire collegiate career. He comes to the NFL, they put him at left tackle, and he's shown that he can play left tackle at a pretty solid level.
Okay, so you broke it up. Bobby thinks he could start on some teams, not every team. The NFL scout I spoke to said some teams. The NFL director of player personnel guy agreed with me that he could start for any team at one of the positions.
I would agree.
And so you break the deal there. Chris Olave, is he a starter for every team in the NFL, or is he for some teams? Now, here's the thing to remember. Rarely do teams play a fullback, so you got three starting receivers.
Correct. So I would say yes.
Yeah, and so that was check.
Even when you think of like the top, you know, receiving cores where you have like a duo, right, of top receivers, I think Olave can potentially slot in as a third guy in some different offenses.
Yeah, and so all of us agree on that. The other guy, too, that got the check mark all across the board, he's 28 years old. He's had injuries, and, you know, okay, he's a different cat out there, okay? He trains his own way, does things his own way. Marshawn Lattimore, start on every team in the NFL.
Yep, I agree.
And this is where it gets a little tricky. Carl Granderson at defensive end, does he start on every team, some teams, just a starter?
I would say some teams. I don't think every team. Carl Granderson has shown flashes where you would say, oh, yeah, this dude's a starter on every team. But it's not really consistent, in my opinion, Mike. Like, he has these games where he'll just pop off, but then other games where he's a little quiet. And I love Carl Granderson. I think it was money well spent by the Saints front office when they extended him, what was it, before last year. And he's rewarded them with really solid play. He's probably the best performing defensive lineman on this team.
No question about
that. But if you're looking at, you know, some of the defensive lines around the NFL, like, Mike, I don't think he starts for Pittsburgh. Right? Like, there's some teams where you can say, yeah, maybe Carl Granderson's a player, but I'm not sure if he would be a starter.
Okay, you, me, and Bobby all agree. Some teams.
Yes.
On some teams. The NFL director of player personnel and the scout, they both said he starts for every team in the NFL.
Okay.
So you broke the tie there, so to speak, on how we look at things.
Here, Mike.
But it was funny that, you know, we see him, you know, we cover him, and that I do think he could start for some teams and certainly be a big-time role player. But I don't know about every team. And yet a director of NFL player personnel and
said
a scout said every team.
And I guess it's fair. Like, if you're looking at grading out defensive linemen, he's up there. Carl Granderson's had a really strong year, and he's shown flashes, like I mentioned. It's just, I'm not sure. There's some really good D-lines around the NFL, Mike. So, but, I mean, if he slots into every single team, I think he's obviously a helpful piece, right? So, I could see that.
Yeah, and he's 27, along with McCoy. Lattimore's 28. The thing about Lattimore, who knows if he's going to be here next year or not, Fuaga is 22 years old, Chris Olave, 24 years old. All good players to very good players. But again, not that great player. And Coach Allen, I think, said the truth the first time and then sort of backtracked it around. Charlie, we'll go to break, and when we come back at the 5:10 break, we'll talk about three more players that Bob and I kind of picked out of could he be a starter for every team? Some teams, just a regular starter.